So, the observance of Mother's Day got started because a woman named Anna Jarvis loved her mama. Known as Mother Jarvis, Anne's mother was an Appalachian homemaker. She was a Sunday school teacher who really, really cared about people. She cared deeply and honestly and authentically. She worried about people. She wanted the best for them. But instead of baking cookies or, you know, making chicken soup or doing or bringing flowers, something like that, she was an advocate. She spent all her time being an activist, a lifelong activist. By the mid-1880s, she had broken down some barriers and she had figured out a way to organize what she called Mother's Day work clubs all over the area of Appalachia. She was in West Virginia, all that area in which she lived. These were groups of women who would meet together, and they would study together, and they would talk together, and they would learn, and they would make things better. One of the main things that they did was to talk about the unsanitary living conditions that they experienced without proper plumbing and all those kinds of things, and the illness that that caused. And they talked about germs and viruses and all the things that were so prevalent there, and what they could do to control them in order for there to be less infant mortalities. Probably as many as half of the babies who were born did not make it. And not only did she do that, Mother Jarvis was a go-getter. During the Civil War, she organized women's brigades all throughout West Virginia. And these were groups of women that she just encouraged just to help, you know, any way that they could help. It wasn't strictly organized. If you go out, if you see somebody who needs something, you do it for them during this war. And it didn't matter what side their men were fighting for, because in West Virginia, some went north, some went south, and you just weren't sure who was where. But Mother Jarvis understood that people are people, and in her mind, they all needed help. So Anne was proud of her mama. I don't blame her. She should have been proud of her mama. And she first suggested the national observance of an annual day honoring all mothers because of the way that she felt about her mother. At a memorial service for her mom on May 10th in 1908, Miss Jarvis gave a carnation. Her mother's favorite flower was carnation. And she gave a carnation to every person who attended. Within the next few years, this idea of some kind of established Mother's Day kind of caught on, and it was done in several large cities across the country. And so on May 9, 1914, by an act of Congress, you always hear, take an act of Congress to do that. Well, there was an act of Congress, and Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. I think that's just so cool. And the formal statement is, it's a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. Pretty neat, huh? 110 years we've been doing this. That's a lot of roses, a lot of carnations. We were talking about earlier how used to we'd always wear a white rose or a red rose to church on Sunday, didn't we? To remember our mothers, whether they were living or not. That was just a given. And I'm sure they do it in some churches. Maybe we should pick it back up next year and do it. Because we love our mamas too, don't we? Mothers are all so very different. Linda talked about this. As she was preparing us for prayer, our mothers really don't have to be the one who gave physical birth to us. You know, most times they are, but they certainly don't have to be. Mothers come in all different shapes and colors and sizes and nationalities and personalities and even genders. Our mothers are the ones who loved us from the moment they met us. They fell in love with us and have been with us through the whole thing. They're the ones who care for us, the one who's always there. Our mothers are always our heroes. Now, my mother was anything but an activist, let me put it that way. She she didn't quite compare with Mother Jarvis, because my mother craved her privacy. She didn't like getting out there in the middle of everything. She loved her little life. She loved living in her little house on her little dirt road. I've told y'all before that she worked at Sewell's for years and years, sewing in pockets and pants. And after she retired, I'm going to tell you what, she was happy as a lark. Happy to go to the Piggly Wiggly once a week, Methodist church on Sunday morning, the beauty shop every now and then. She'd drive over to Louise's house on the end of the dirt road and get her hair done. She'd go to a family reunion, a funeral or a wedding, you know, every now and then. And always, at least twice a year, a trip to Marietta to spend the day with her twin sister and talk about shoes and eat tomato soup. Other than that, she was perfectly happy there in her little pine grove in her little house with kids and grandkids popping by every now and then, and with the Braves and the golf on TV and the Atlanta Journal to keep her company. And yet her little life was huge. I know it was for me, and I know it was for so many others as well, all who knew her, as a matter of fact. Because my mother was kind. I don't know how else to put it. She was just an unusually kind person, wasn't she, Jane? Jane lived with her for a while, so she got a double dose of them. And that kindness that was just a part of her, it just spread around. It soaked itself into everything. It rubbed off on all of us. But it had this uncanny talent of finding the good in each person who entered her life. That is a talent. That has to be a God-given talent, because I don't think it comes naturally. There could be 1,000 things to criticize about someone, but she would always, always find something good to say, something positive. And she would always make people feel welcome and affirmed. And the thing was, she meant it. She was the real deal. People changed when they were around her. They felt differently about themselves. They stood up a little straighter. They laughed a little bit more. I never remember my mother raising her voice to me. Lord knows I knew it, that I needed it. I know that. But she never raised her voice to me. She just sort of loved my sister and me up through all those years. And she did the same thing with her sons-in-law and with the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren and the nieces and nephews and everyone who would come to visit. Mama just made us all better people. I can't explain it. She made us know that we were loved unconditionally, just as we were. We didn't need to change a thing. She gave us this sweet and wonderful example of how to live. Y'all, all I can figure is that she learned this from Jesus. And yet there are other mothers out there who aren't quiet and who aren't private at all. They're loud. They're in your face. And then they're in the middle of everything. They're never at home. They're always on the road. And they are wonderful. I found a little something about these tough love kind of mothers. It's called an ode to mom. It says, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're going to kill each other, go outside. I just cleaned in here. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that'll come out of the carpet. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear. You may get in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. See, the love language here is a little different from what it was at my house. But if this is your mom right here, if this is your mom, you know without a doubt in your mind that she will always be there for you. that she will stand up for you. She'll be tough and firm and will set the boundaries. But y'all, those boundaries, those desires for you and others to be safe and whole, will be the very thing that keeps you going through the years, the very thing that brings you peace and happiness as you get older. Those boundaries will bring common sense and maturity into the world. And Lord knows the world could use a little common sense and maturity these days, right? Only thing I can figure out is that these moms must have learned that from Jesus. See, moms spend their life telling their beautiful story. We have to think in 3D here. Think in the past and the future and the present. And their story sort of melts into our story. You know? Like that John Prine, that song that I mentioned on the email yesterday. I am an old woman named after my mother. Gradually, we realize that when we look in the mirror, we see ourselves, but we also see our mothers staring back at us. Not only us women, but the men as well, don't you? You see her eyes, you see her face, you see her hair, and we see our grandmas too. We're us, but we're also them. And the wisdom seems to all meld itself together. And we smile. In spite of it all, we smile. We smile at the wrinkles and the new age spots and the way our mouths look and the color of our hair. But what we're really smiling at is the connectedness. We're smiling at the memories. We're smiling at who we are. And we smile. And this is the amazing thing. This is the God thing. We smile even when we've worked hard at the business of forgetting and forgiving, as we realize that sometimes the lessons we learned from our mom are the things not to do, the chances not to take, the failures not to fail, the hurt not to cause. It's all in there. The darkness and the light, it's all there for all of us. And our stories are our stories. They're all we have. They're who we are. They're how we are known. And listen, don't ever let anyone tell you that your story is not it, because it is. So, Peter, getting back to the scripture that Jim read to us from, Peter is sort of thinking along these lines of our life stories and who we are as he gives these instructions to a very, very, very young and inexperienced church. I mean, the church had just been around for a few decades when Peter had this communication with them. And he's telling these new Christians what to do. He's telling them how to do church. And he says, y'all, it's simple, really. Don't make it too hard. All you need to do is tell your story. And this is news for us today as well. This is what we're called to do. Now, what he means by telling our story is this. He means that we are to live our lives, to leave the house, to go to town, to go out, to be in the midst of people, and to do those things, to live our lives as if Jesus has taught us how to live. And we do that so others can see, because if we don't live a life modeled by the life of Jesus, then how will people know? I'm going to step aside just a minute and say, I think the church is in some trouble right now, because I think the church in many ways has chosen a few agendas to say, this is God's will, and if you don't go along with us, you're not in the right place. They're forgetting that Jesus is at the heart of it all, to live a life moving toward the way that Jesus lived is what we're called to do, not to beat people up, but to lift them up. So anyway, I moved away a little bit, but I think that's something that we're going to need to think more and more and more about as we move into the future. Who is the church? How do we live this Christ-like life out in the community? But the Christians that Peter's talking to, they've got a little problem. Because they're brand new, you know. They're still squeaky clean. They're like patent leather shoes that hadn't even gotten scuffed up yet. And they don't have the luxury of having heard the stories of the Christian moms and mamas and nanas and grannies and big mamas that have come before them, because they're the first. They're the first Christians. And so Peter is telling them that, don't worry, you've got the model. You have Jesus. Jesus' story is yours, and your story is Jesus. When you look in the mirror, you see Christ looking back at you. Thing is, though, to take it a little further, Peter knows that this is a dangerous time in history, a dangerous period for the church. It's a life-threatening time for Christians. Followers of Jesus are being martyred at a pace that is a little bit more uncomfortable than they would like. And so they're having to decide how to navigate around all this. Telling Jesus' story was not the safest thing to do right then. It wasn't the safest thing in the world to love your neighbor too much. It wasn't the most secure thing to feed the hungry, or the logical thing to advertise your Christianity by loving others as you love yourself. You would literally be putting your life on the rock if you were too obvious about it. But what were they supposed to do? Because the story has to be told, right? That's what we're here for, is to make disciples, to tell the story, to spread, to grow the kingdom of God. The story has to be told, and the Holy Spirit is chomping at the bits to tell it. So Peter says to the church, don't be afraid. Just tell it. Just tell everyone you meet. Tell the Jesus story with gentleness. Tell it with kindness. Tell it with integrity. Tell the story of what knowing Jesus in whatever way you know him means to you. And be honest. Don't make stuff up. The way that God is involved in our lives is cool enough and miraculous enough to not have to make anything up. And Peter goes on to say, look, you learned this when you were baptized. That God loved you before you even knew God's name. And you learned that he will never, 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 never let you go, no matter what you do. Not even in death, he is with you always. There is nothing that can harm you. Remember what Isaiah said about it? It's on the front of your bulletin. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, says the Lord. So tell your story. Tell your story. Yeah, we are being called to do the same thing we were talking about in Sunday school. Things haven't changed that much. The church is still called to stand up against injustice and against unfairness in the world and against hatred and darkness. And every day, that's what we're called to do, is just go out there and tell our story. Thankfully, we aren't being martyred for it. We aren't being put in jail for it. We're just called to tell it, because the world needs to hear it. Oh, here's something for you who attend here regularly, for members of our church family. You're going to have the opportunity this summer to literally share your story from this pulpit. We're going to be doing some testimonies during the season, our camp meeting season during the summer. And I hope you'll think about it, because your story needs to be told. Why you're here, how you got here, how God has interacted in your life, how you have experienced Jesus. And I'll tell you, just like Peter told the church then, Don't pretend you're an expert if you get up here and start talking, because I'm going to tell you what, you're not. Don't make yourself sound better than you are. You are not. Just tell folks about how knowing Jesus has changed your life. There are a million ways to do it. So I hope you'll pray about it and consider it. We'll talk some more about it later, and you can see whether or not God is calling you to share. But for today, as we share the story, perhaps we could do it simply by telling somebody the story of our mom. And in the telling, in the good and the bad, and the ups and the downs, you'll find that it will be the story of Jesus, for it is the story of love. And he is in the midst of it all. The Lord is my mama. She's given me everything. She makes me lie down on clean sheets. She leads me beside calm streets. She revives my soul and guides me along safe sidewalks and familiar neighborhoods. Though I walk in the darkest dark, I don't have to be afraid of any monsters, because she is with me. Even her discipline comforts me and makes me better. She spreads a buffet of all my favorite foods, fried chicken and cornbread dressing and cakes and cookies, and invites everyone. She wipes dirt off my face with spit on her thumb. My heart overflows with her best advice. Surely, every lesson she teaches me will stay with me my whole life, and I'll feel at home with her love forever. So happy Mother's Day, y'all. Share your story. Hold on to the memories. Watch the babies grow up in the family. Watch the laugh lines form on your face. Feel your knees getting stiff and old. And through it all, love, love, love. And know that even in these days, all is well. For God is with us. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.